Okay, we continue in the Rambam, Perek Hey, Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel Halacha Yud Zayin, Chapter 5, Law 17. We're going to now discuss chopping down wood that you needed just for the wood, which this is trees that are growing during the Shemitah year, where there's really nothing wrong with something that's growing by itself to chop down the wood, but there's another factor that we have to be worried about. Remember, we've been learning that when the crops that grow, the fruits that grow during Shemitah, you have to use them the way they're meant to be used, and you can't in any way create a situation where you're not using them the way they're meant to be used, they're used in a less potent form, or diminished, as it were. And that's going to be the consideration in the next number of halachas, where the basic activity of cutting wood would be okay, but there's going to be side problems that we will see. Yud Zayin. Now, again, we'll have to say, the whole idea of chopping down trees in general, there's another issue that the Rambam is assuming that you are understanding over here. There is an aspect of Bal Tashkas. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree wantonly, where you lose out on the value of the fruits. Now, let's say, for example, you have a fruit tree and the wood that you want to chop the wood for firewood. Let's say the wood is worth $20. After you chop the tree down, you have $20 worth of wood. But this is $100 worth of fruits sitting on that tree, or could come out of that tree. Then you're not allowed to chop down the wood, because you're losing a tremendous amount. That's real destruction of the fruit. But let's say a situation where the fruits are not producing as much as what the wood is worth. Under that circumstance, then there's no problem with Bal Tashkas. And that's the assumption that we're working with over here, so we're not worried about the question of Bal Tashkas that someone might think of asking in a few minutes, so we've obviated that question right away. So, Yud Zayin, Mutar Lakutz Ilonos La'etzim Bashvis Kodem Shia Behem Pri. You are permitted to cut down trees that are fruit trees in the seventh Shemitah year before fruits start growing out of them. And even the fruits that would grow out of them would not be enough fruits that it would be worth more than the wood that is there. But that's all before the fruits begin to grow, because there's no Kedusha Shviz coming to any of the fruits yet. And there's no potential at this point, because nothing's coming up. Here's the problem now. But once the tree's beginning to produce the fruits, and we'll have to determine what that stage is, but once there's something that can be called the beginning stages of fruit, at that point, lo katsuso, so you cannot cut the fruit tree down. Why? Because you are now destroying the food that would potentially be, it's already started to come, and now we're not maximizing the ability to eat the fruit that's growing during the Shemitah year, because if you wouldn't chop it down, the fruits would have grown, and you've now preempted them from growing, and we're now not being able to benefit from the Shemitah produce as it should be done. Venemar, as the Pasuk says, Lohem lo'ochlo, it's yours, the fruit is yours to eat, but velo lahafsid, but not to destroy. And therefore, you can't cut it down when the fruits are beginning to grow. However, Vimhotzi peres vihigio la'onas hamasres. Okay, so once the fruits produce, once the tree produces fruits, and it reached the time of the miser at that point, so now you've got enough fruit that's coming out where it's an edible fruit, and you could eat the fruit. So now when you're chopping down the tree, the fruit can be picked off, and now you can eat it. In other words, if it's not at that stage, the fruit, the potential fruit that's there, if you'd let it grow a little longer, we'd have fruit that we could enjoy. But since you cut the tree off too early, I can't enjoy the fruit that's there. But once I reach the time where you would have to give meiser for it, where it's generally grown one third, so it's ready an edible fruit, as it were, we wouldn't be chayvin meiser. So now that it's reached that stage, you can chop it. Why? Shaharei hotzi peirosav. It has already produced the fruits. And therefore, ubatal din shviz, you don't have to worry about the law of shviz that you are destroying shviz and not allowing it to grow. So therefore, you'll chop down the tree, you'll use the tree for firewood, and that's the proper use of the tree for firewood. And the fruits, you'll have the fruits to eat, like you need fruits during a Shemitah year that you're allowed to eat. Okay, so now the question is, following that up on Aloch Yudches, so where do we go from nothing's on the tree? There's three stages. Nothing on the tree, where there's no problem. When it's reached the stage of Miserus, where there's no problem. But then what's that stage where it's begun to grow? So there's some kind of fruit there, but it's not yet at the stage where it's fully developed. What is that stage that we'd have to be concerned with that we could not chop down the trees? So from what time can we not chop down the trees for Shemitah. So it depends on the different types of fruits that exist. Hecha Ruvim, a buxer tree, carob tree, Mishiyashalshalu, when the branches become knotted. And I guess at that point, the fruits are developing to a certain stage. I'm not an expert in buxer trees, but that already, there's some fruit over there, but it hasn't gotten to the point where you could eat that fruit if you chop down the tree. V'hagvanim, and the grapes, mishiyigoru. Once you see little seedlings, you know, that first stage, when it's like little seeds, that's enough that now you have a problem. V'hazesim, and olives, mishiyotnetsu, when they begin to bud. Ushar kolilonos, and any other types of trees, mishiyotsuyuboser, when already small unripe produce are beginning to grow. So I guess an apple tree, let's say if a little bit of small little apple is already showing, but you can't eat that apple, it's too, way too small to eat it. But at that point, you already see a little apple over there, so now you have to wait until it's grown to the point where you can give mycer on it, and that's an edible fruit.
So you can cut it down if it's blossoming, because it's a fruit.
Right, they need to be more. Other fruit, that blossom's not enough. You have to have a small, unripe fruit over there. Ve'inkotzin es ha'kofnios, beshvis. You can't cut down kofnios. Kofnios are small dates that have not ripened. Mipneshu hefsid pri, because you're going to damage the pri. You're going to lose money, because it would, if you let it grow more, develop into a mature date. However, there are different types of these date permutations, and there are some that are called kofnios, and they're miniature dates, but even when they will grow into be developed dates, they're not the kind of dates that you could, they're inedible dates. So they can grow bigger and have a big unedible date. The main darkon leheosus tomorrow elish yotzis, but if their way, their normal development is not to make actual dates that you can eat, but it just buds into a big bud, but never really becomes a date to eat, then mutar lokutz also kofnios, then you could cut them in that stage of being small dates, because they're never going to make a fruit anyway, so you haven't really damaged anything to begin with. Okay, so you're taking care of general fruits, but now let's talk about other things that is good for animal feed, where again, there could be the same issue involved here. Yutes, ein sorfin teven vokash shel shvis. You cannot burn straw or hay that's growing in the shmitir, mipnei shu royal amachu behema, because it's fit for animal use. And if it's fit for animal use, it already has the Kedusha Shvis. It has the holiness of Shemitah. As the Torah says, La'achlitz to be... I'm skipped. That's the next comment. Hold on. So, where's confused sign? Yes. Yeah. Okay. So you can, so it has that Kedusha. It has to be done for eating purposes. And if you're burning it up, that's not the, the purpose, since it can be used for eating the animal. But you can burn the rinds of olives and grapes of the Shemitah year, because that isn't even fit to feed animals, and that's just like regular trees, like regular wood. That's not nothing, nobody can eat anything from that, human or animals, and therefore there's nothing to be gained from it. Okay, so you're not supposed to burn the hay and the straw. But what's going to happen if somebody does burn the hay and the straw? Would there be any punitive actions taken against the person that he wouldn't be able to benefit from it? Halacha chaf. Merchat shehuska b'tevenu v'kashel shviz. If a bathhouse was now heated up by burning the straw and the hay from Shemitah, which you were not allowed to do, this is a b'dieved, this is now after the fact. Mutar lirchatzba. You can still bathe in that bathhouse, bitty of it, because it's already been burnt. And what can you do now? There's nothing more you can do. As a matter of fact, the socher, and you can even be, the person can pay, the bathhouse attendant. So even though it looks like, and we'll discuss later on, a little bit like business that's going on, you can't do business with Shemitah crops, but it's not really the Shemitah crop, it's what came out of burning the Shemitah crop, and therefore it's okay, but that's all b'dieved. In other words, it's already fait accompli. You weren't supposed to do it. You've done the wrong thing, but now that you have a warm bathhouse, what's the concern? It's not like Hilchos Shabbos, where we're saying that we're, you know, you're not allowed to benefit from Hilchos Shabbos or things like this. Here you're allowed to benefit, but you didn't benefit in the way you were meant to benefit from it. So you did a wrong thing, but there's no point in not allowing that to be used now. However, if we're concerned that if we will allow the person to use it, we may cut down further things and do more, then we will not allow even presently to be done. And when would that be? V'madim chashuv. Let's say the person who you have prepared the heated up the bath was a very important person. And a very important person could say, you know, I need to want it to be a little bit warmer. And then what's going to happen? We're going to go to the trees and cut a few more trees down. And that will create a problem. Then also, now we're not allowed to even use the first one that was cut, because there's a great likelihood we'll continue to use it and we will cut further trees. Now there's a reason to rabbinically prohibit it. Perhaps now he's going to burn other things that again are either human or animal food, which you cannot do that. So there'll be more, sweat, the humidity, whatever, should come and make it hotter. Come with that. Will come out, you will cause a loss from the Shemitah crops.
Yeah. So, if you're in the intermediate stage where you've cut a lot of the wheat and straw, you haven't burned it, right? And then you're told, like, presume you can't then burn more even though it's already been cut? Or can you?
What did you cut it for? You're not supposed to cut a lot.
So you've cut it to burn.
Yeah.
And then you start burning it and you can use what's being heated with that.
But you couldn't cut any more?
No, but it's already been cut.
But you can't burn it? You can't go feed your animals.
Right.
Straw is to be fed to animals. Yeah. So you cut it, go feed your animals.
Yeah.
And we'll see, you're not really supposed to cut that much. You're supposed to cut a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
There's another problem. You can't cut a lot because then it's going to look like you're doing it for business. You're allowed to cut a little bit. So that's another problem, but you could not use it anymore. That's not after the fact enough. Okay, halacha chaf aleph. Haklipim v'hagarinin. Shells of fruits and pits. Now, that's unedible, obviously. The kinds that are unedible. Shimutarim b'trumah lazorim. And you could tell it's unedible. It's at the stage where even if it's truma, a non-kohen can eat it. Obviously, that's the part of the fruit that is really not the fruit part. So whatever, you have to learn a hilchos trumas, you know, which parts of the shells and seeds. But if it's a part that's not truma, that's clearly not an edible fruit. So those parts that now, in Shemitah, from fruits like that, ain't kedusha shvi'is chol aleim. There's no holiness of shvi'is on those pits and those shells. V'rehen ke'etzim, they're just like wood. Ella im kain, unless some of those may have a different use, Ella im kain ruin litzvi, if you can die with them, and we already learned that things that are suitable for dying, that becomes the use, and then you have to dye them, and you can't burn them, because burning them would be a lower level use than dyeing them. Vahakor, and what is kor? Kor is the top of a palm tree, and it's soft, and it's edible. Kedusha shvi cholav alav. The Kedusha Shvi'is is upon that. I guess he's saying a Chiddush that, I guess, why would we have to say that? I guess you could think it's like wood. But since it's edible on the top, and it was part of the palm branch, if it's edible, then it has the Kedusha Shvi'is. Okay, how about, Hatsoirer Tvolim Shel Shvi'is V'nosein L'toch HaTavshel. Okay, let's say you take a bundle of spices. Okay, now you bundle them in a bag, and it's of Shemitah, and now you put it inside of a cooked dish, so it's like those, you know, like the gourmets, like they put a little satchel,
satchel,
and they put it in there, and now they put it inside something that's cooking.
It's almost like a tea bag. It's
right,
with spices.
Right. So now, what do you got? You got Shemitah spices, okay, and now you're putting it in regular food. Let's say that regular food's not Shemitah food. Let's say it's your
chicken.
It's a chicken, right? A chicken soup. Okay, so in the chicken soup, which is not truma, not Shemitah, now you're putting in a satchel bag of Shemitah spices in there. The question is going to be now, is the whole soup going to have a status of Shemitah soup, and therefore you have to eat it with the Kedusha of Shemitah or not? So it depends. What do you think it's going to depend on?
Does it give a taste or not? How much taste it gives?
Okay, in batal tamam, if their taste has been nullified, and you can't even tell really the taste in the soup, then I don't know why you're putting the satchel anyway. Hare elu matorim l'chol davar. Then the soup is worthy for everything. I think everything is mutter for anything. And if you want to, the commentators, if you want to use it, it's like wood. You want to use it for firewood? Go ahead and use it. There's no kedusha. That's what he said in the commentary. Ray Haim Kates.
But I guess he's not talking about
soup. But it doesn't have the kedusha shvi'is. Because I guess if you would have had the satchel by itself and bitten into the spice, you would have tasted the spice. But now the spice has gone into the soup, and now the taste is bottled to the soup. then there's nothing left to the spice, as it were. V'im nishar b'em tam, but there still is a taste. Okay, adayim heim b'kedusha shvis, they remain through shvis. I think that the discussion is only the bundle and the bag. They're not talking about the soup. It's just a question of the bundle and the bag. Does it lose its shmita status, or does it retain its shmita status? Okay, now, Chav Gemo, enostim tevim v'kashol shvis lo letoch hakar, lo letoch hatip. Now, back to the straw and the hay, that's animal food, that should be used for animal food, and already said you can't use it for other things like burning. Well, how about if you're going to use it to stuff a pillow? Alright? Or if you're using it as for mortar, you're putting it inside mortar. So the Rambam says you're not supposed to do that, because I guess that's using it for a use, that's a devaluated use. V'imnosan, and if you did put them in, to the point where you can't feed them to the animals anymore. Hareze kimavor, it's like it was burnt, and now it's no longer animal food, and it's nothing we could do anymore. And you've transgressed, and you can't fix stuff. You put it in the mud.
Done.
You can't do anything, and I guess if you've put it in the pillows, I guess after you crunch it up, whatever, I guess it's not edible anymore, so it's like you burnt it out, and it's beyond repair.
What if it's a field, and you're always growing it to use it for bricks? Like that's why it was originally planted.
I don't think that's what you... I don't know.
It's not enough good quality.
It must be a lesser quality. It must not be animal food.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's more valuable, animal food or bricks.
Well, it's fuel. Like, because they say a lot of corn now is not used as animal.
I guess you'd have to know what is its normal usage. If the usage of that field is planted for bricks, then it's not planted for animals. So then that's a brick field. All right. Now, this is going to be similar now to what we had before with the last part. It's going to be similar to the bathhouse stuff. What about taner shisiku? Let's say you take the straw and the what do you call it?
Hay.
The hay. And instead of feeding the animal, you've now heated up your stove. All right. You weren't supposed to do that. It's after the fact. We had that before. Okay.
But this doesn't seem like the same view.
But let's see now. You've already heated up the bathhouse. Here you've just heated up the oven. Now what do you want to do with a hot oven?
Break bread.
Now you want to put food in it.
Yeah.
So you san. What does that mean? You don't bake any bread on it, and you let it cool down. Because they do not allow you to bake it, because since you heat it up in a not permitted way. Now, the question is, so what if you go further and you would not, so you should not use it for, what do you call it, for baking. But what if you go, commentaries say, what if you go on and you transgress and you bake bread? Still, they will not penalize you and you can eat the bread. And that's the same reason why you're allowed to bath in the bathhouse that's already been heated up already. So in other words, their commentary say wants to compare. No. I hear your question, but he wants to compare. Once the water's already been heated,
right,
it's already as if the bread's been baked. I can see, that's what the commentaries say.
Yeah.
The Rambam is equating it that way, and I could hear your question, but if I heated up the water, I've not yet put myself in there, but, you know, you have to look at it from you're looking at it from end product, and we have to look at it, the Rambam is looking at it from direct relation, what I mean to say. You heated up a stove. That does nothing for anybody. Right? Now, you heat up the wood to produce the hot water, heat up the wood. Now that you produce the hot water, that's the end product. You want to have hot water. The bread, what if I don't eat it? Okay, that's the point. Well, you could heat the bread, you can make bread, but you can't eat it. So that's the same thing. The fact that the oven is hot enables you now to bake the bread. The fact that the, is hot.
The fire is burning.
It burns, makes the water hot, and then you go into the water. So
you're one stage further when you've heated the water than just the hot oven.
It's already finished.
Yeah.
It's like the bread is baked.
You bake the bread and you heat
but
the water.
But even if you break the bread, it's useless if we're not allowed to eat it.
Yeah.
Right? So the same thing, you really shouldn't have heated up anything here, but if you're ready, heated up the water's ready to go. All that's ready left is to eat it, to bathe in it. So that's, I guess, how the Rambam is equating the two, although I could hear your question on that. Okay, fine. Umishetered revia shnia b'motzei shvi'is. Once the second, there's different times of rain during the year, and there's, when the second time of the rainfall comes after the Shemitah year, Nehenim, you can benefit from the previous straw that grew. Vesorfin batevin ubakashal shvi'is. You can then burn the stray straw and the hay of shvi'is that was in the seventh year. What he means to say like this, the straw and the hay that grew in the seventh year, you can't use it to burn because you have to feed it to the animals. But what if you didn't use that straw yet, you just let it grow? And now we're going into the eighth year now. And now more is growing, more straw and more hay, and the old stuff is beginning to rot. So now, once we're at the stage where the second rainfall came, where the new hay and straw is growing, and the old hay and straw is beginning to rot, then it's already not worthy to feed animals anymore. Mm-hmm. And therefore, since you can't feed animals anymore, therefore you can burn it because there is no other use for it. So we're just saying a timing for this. In other words, at what point is the straw and the hay that's in the field allowed to be burned? When we get into the eighth year and we're at the point where the second rainfall normally does come, and at that point new straw and hay has grown, and the old straw and hay becomes not usable to eat by animals, at that point you can burn it because it's no longer edible for the animals.
So, but just a point of clarification, I think at one point we seem to say that you have to use it for animal feed rather than the lesser, and use the fruit on the tree for eating rather than the wood itself, because
the Torah is saying you've got to do what it's normally used for.
It's not because it's worth more. Because I think at one point we said the fruit's worth more than the tree. So that's
that then is a problem of Baal Tashchis. Yeah. That's a different issue. I just clear that out so we don't have Baal Tashchis issues.
Here we said, you know, the straw is worth, because it wasn't designed to feed for animals, because it's worth more as animal feed than it is as heating.
But it's for sure worth more as animal feed.
But is it?
Then has to be used for what the normal use is and what the better use for it is.
It's really not because of the value. It's more
higher
use
for an animal.
There's a higher use. When you have straw, it's the straw is animal food. Animal food has to be given for animals to eat. That's the typical and the better use to be done.
Right.
The fact that I'm not, and there's other issues as well, but the fact that I'm just burning it up, that's not the optimal use I could have for that.
Even the fruit in the tree. If, for example, the tree was worth more than the fruit, I would think you'd still have to use it for fruit because fruit is a higher level.
Depends if the fruit has grown or not. If the fruit hasn't grown, it's not an issue. If the fruit has grown,
the fruit's out.
So then you can chop it down anyway because you're going to eat the fruit anyway.
Oh, I see. Yes, that's true.
You could chop the tree down, burn the wood, and eat the fruit.
Yeah, that's not a problem. It's only when the fruit's in the middle stage.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a problem.
Okay, good. Let's go on now a little bit into chapter 6. Okay, you know what to do to get there, Paul?
It was easy because it's fixed now.
Yeah, but with fruit trees, though, there's going to be another year. If you're not supposed to chop down fruit trees, because the next year there'll be more fruit and the year after.
No, but it's just for right now. We're saying it's a kind of a tree that it's better for you to burn it down now than later. It's better than whatever the long-term use is going to be out of it. You know, just getting a few bucks every year, yeah, theoretically, after 50 years, it's worth more than the wood, but, you know, that doesn't really do you much help right now. And we're worried more right now. If it's much more valuable as wood right now, chop it down for the wood. Okay, now the sixth chapter is going to exclusively deal with commerce with shvi'is. Now the general rule, just so the general rule is, commerce is not allowed permitted with shvi'is. So it says the Shemitah fruit is meant to be eaten and not to be used in a commercial way. And really this stuff is all hefker. What the Rambam is going to go through, so then what do? How do you live? You live because you're allowed, it's hefker, you could take enough you need to eat. So we're going to discuss, how do we know if what you're doing is doing it to show that you're eating? And how do you know to do what you're doing is commerce? Now, of course, if let's say you have a field and all your hay, it's just a banana plantation. Well, it's going to be very difficult if you live on bananas the whole year. Right? It's going to be very difficult. Just, that's all you get to eat. Or you have to go into other people's fields.
It's monkey business.
So we will see what you can do in terms of selling the bananas and things like that. But not in a quote-unquote commercial way, but more as an individual wanting to eat his individual foods and what he does to eat as an individual versus a commercial enterprise. And the details are all to unfold before you. There's nothing to ask.
Is this going to be including the
There's nothing to ask.
It's going can include
it's nothing to ask. But that's a general rule. Now let's look inside.
You can get what you want, but what if it's hefker? Someone could take everything and there's nothing left for you.
Nobody can take everything, because if you take everything, that's a commercial use.
Hundreds of people.
No individual. Hundreds could.
And then
hundreds could, and you're no better than all the other hundreds. That's right. So what? That has nothing to do with the issue that we're talking about here.
So we said that you could take enough so that you...
No, we already said how much can you take. It was a very little amount that you could take.
Right, but I'm saying you may
and
not
that's
even
all
have
you
that.
Could take. What?
You may not even have that if
so you don't. Well, that's irrelevant to this chapter, my friend.
Okay.
We're talking about commerce. You're worried about the guy losing out. But don't forget, you can go to the other guy's field and take also.
Sure.
Right. And don't forget, Paul, you already got a triple crap before the year started.
So why do you need to this chapter you got at all? You have what you need.
Well, we
for
need
that
to know
year.
What the halachas are.
Yeah, but you have what you need for that year, based on
so good. But okay, thank you. Ein osin schara beperish vish. You're not allowed to do business for profit during the Shemitah year, because the Torah says the earth will rest for you to eat and not to do business. They'll just forget about doing business in this year. There's no business. V'imrotz alim kor ma'at mi perosh v'is. But if he wants to sell a little bit of the Shemitah peros, because that will help him, selling a little bit isn't called business, then moicher, you're allowed to sell. All right? Now, how much is that? So the Gemara tells us that, say, you can buy Shemitah crops from an Amoretz, a little bit, and how much can you buy? 3 meals. That's it. So you could sell 3 meals. It's a very small amount. That's not called business. Okay? For Osama Dami. Now what happens to that money? So let's say you wanted to sell, guy comes to your field, you want to sell him a few of these things. Now again, why do you have to sell to him? Maybe you picked a few ready for yourself. You remember, you're allowed to pick a certain amount for yourself. We gave the measurements, how much olives you can pick for the oil, how much grapes you can pick for the wine, and you picked that much, let's say a little extra, now you want to sell.
Right.
So you could sell a little bit. You can sell 3 meals worth of that. That's what you can sell. So now, what happens to the money that you get? Now, here's going to be very interesting, as we're going to see as we go later on. It's going to be a little different than the laws of Meiser Sheni and other hektish that you redeem. Let's say it now, and we'll repeat it again when the round does it. Normally, let's say you have Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, you have to take all those crops to Yerushalayim. You don't want to take them all to Yerushalayim. So what's your way out of it? You redeem it. So that Meiser Sheni, once it's Meiser Sheni, is holy. It's holy. You have no right to anything else but take in Jerusalem. Now, if you want, you can redeem it with an extra percentage. And now, what happens to the holiness of the crops? It transfers onto the money. The money now is holy, and the crops are mundane.
Yeah.
That's not going to be the case with Shemitah. We're going to find out, as the Rambam will give us the drusha for it later. But the original crop is holy, and when you now sell it, the money also becomes holy, and they both become holy.
Oh,
the Rambam will teach us later where he derives that from, but the original Kedusha never leaves it, and the next Kedusha, if now I paid $50, I got $50 for the crops, the guy who buys the crops, those are Kedusha Shviz crops, you can eat them, but you have to treat them with Kedusha, you gotta eat them, you can't burn them and things like that. Now the money you get, the $50 you get, has to be treated like the fruits you just sold.
And
therefore you have to buy food with that, and that food has to be treated with the Kedusha Shviz just as well. Right. That's the general rule. There's many details of that, but that's a general rule that is a little bit different, and it's a little counterintuitive, because you would have figured once you're transferring the Kedusha falls off, and the new thing takes it on, as you find in so many other things of Hekdesh, but that's not what happens over here. So therefore the Rambam says, V'imratz alim kor ma'at miperosh v'is. You want to sell a little bit of those fruits of Shemitah, mocher, you could sell them. V'osam adomi. Now that money that you're holding in your hand, harei heim kiperosh v'is. You have to look at them as if they are the fruits of a Shemitah year. Now what can you do with that money? You can only do one thing. V'yelakach b'hem machol. You can buy food, and it has to be human food, not pet food. Why? Because that would be going down a level. Right? So now you could buy, now it doesn't have to be grapes and crops. You could buy a steak. But you have to buy food that human beings eat.
No pets.
And now, how do you eat that food now? Ve'yeochol b'kedusha shviz. And you have to eat it with the sanctity of Shemitah. Meaning to say, you gotta eat it, and you gotta use it according to all the normal needs of way you normally eat things. You couldn't burn it. You have a little bit of leftovers at the end. You just can't burn it up.
You
have
to
treat
it
with all the kedusha that would be giving it to an animal. animal, right? Here's the point. And the fruit that was sold, which in other aspects of Hekdesh would lose its Kedusha, Harehu Bikdusha, so it retains its Kedusha, Kishohaya as it were, and now you've really multiplied the Kedusha. You have the original Kedusha has stayed, and the money now transfers to whatever you buy. Now the money, and we'll see the Rambam will say at the end of the day, it's the last step of it is the Kedusha. Meaning to say, let's say I had apples. They're holy. I sold it, I got 50 bucks. Okay, now the 50 bucks now is Kodesh, but you can't eat 50 bucks. So you take $50 and you're gonna buy a steak for $50. Now, the holiness falls off the 50, because that never was inherently holy. It goes now on to the meat. Let's say you didn't want to eat, you changed your mind. Instead of meat, you want to buy some fish. You're going to barter the meat for fish. The meat will lose its holiness, and now the fish will retain it. The Rambam will tell us later, the Kedusha is the beginning of this process, the original thing that grew, and whatever is the final thing in the process before you eat it, that's where the Kedusha is. Everything in between gets switched off. Yeah.